a few minutes ago about Tyler Lauver. Tyler has a very special event coming up in his life, the 7th of April. And it's going to be here at the church at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Tyler, I think it's okay to say this. I hope so. I forgot the paper that I was supposed to bring with me and read, but Tyler will be receiving the Eagle Scout Award, and a very neat accomplishment in his life. And so his family celebrating that, and others in the community. And so they're going to have a ceremony here at the church at 2 o'clock on the 7th. And family wants to let you know if you'd like to come and be here for that ceremony. They want you to be a part of that 2 o'clock on the 7th of April. And so congratulations. We're going to say more about Tyler another time, because he's been very involved in helping to, through his Eagle Scout project, renew our youth house, and a lot of neat things over there. And so we want to talk about that too, but on another day, and just say congratulations to you, Tyler, and that part of that. I want to invite you this morning back to that story that Jen read a little bit earlier. What a joy it is to be in church today and to be reminded of the importance of praise. And we do have so much to praise God for in our lives. We have so much to be thankful for. When we begin to count our blessings and count our praises, there's not a person here today that does not have a lot to be thankful for. We have many challenges in life, and you do too. I know that you do, but I also know that thanksgiving and being thankful to God is a choice that we make, and a thankful spirit is pleasing to God. And when we think about praise and we think about being thankful, it's so important and evident that God's people be committed to and understand the importance of being thankful all the time and praising God. I want to speak to you this morning about the importance of praise. Certainly, God's plan for the church is that God's people would be a people of praise. I mean, it's so evident throughout the Scriptures in the Old Testament and the New Testament how important praise is to God's people. You know that there are more references to praise in the Bible than any other topic in the whole Bible. There's more references to praise than anything else. I said a little bit earlier, 450 times in the Scriptures do we find the word praise and the importance of praise in some way describing what praise is. Over half of them were written as commandments to praise God. So about 200 times or so in the Bible, we're commanded to praise God. Not just a suggestion, but truly a characteristic of God's people. 450. I read every single one of them in preparation. I'm going to quote most of them. Well, if I did, we'd be here a long time. I tell you, I really do feel this morning I've got something inside of me that wants to quote all of them, because they are so powerful and good, and there's so many different things about praise that are important for us to think about and to realize. God's people... For God's people, praise is a primary response throughout the Scriptures. That is how people demonstrate one of the ways, not the only way, but one of the ways that we are to demonstrate that God is real in our lives. Demonstrate to the people around us, to our families, to God Himself, that we believe in who He is, that we believe in what He's, how He's revealed Himself. Truly, 450 references, there's a lot to say about praise. I want to begin this morning with this story that Jen read part of this morning. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 19, and I want to read verses 28 through 40. Would you stand with me and read again this story of the triumphal entry? I just want to use this as a beginning place today of praise, and then I'm going to quote a lot of Scriptures. I'm going to read a lot of Scriptures about praise. And this, what does the Bible say about praise? And why is it so important in the life of God's people? Why is it that we're told in the book of Genesis and all the way to the end of the book of Revelation describing God's people as a people of praise? Beginning with Luke chapter 19, verse 28. After Jesus had said this, He went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As He approached Bethage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, He sent two of His disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as He had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Thank you. You may be seated. There are so many things that I notice in this story about praise and throughout all of the Bible about praise. One of the first things I notice about this story is the spontaneous response of people when Jesus came through. When they knew that Jesus was coming, there was a spontaneous reaction from the people of praise to Jesus. There was an eruption of praise. There was this overflowing, overwhelming joy and excitement that Jesus was coming through. You look at verse 37 again. It says, "When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen." When the people came near the place, when Jesus came near to the place, the people began to praise him. There was an anticipation. There was an excitement. They were looking forward to something special. They began to hear what was happening, and the people were excited about it. They wanted to be a part of it. And so it says that they began joyfully to praise God. It wasn't a quiet, it wasn't a somber time, but they began to praise God and lift him up. I also noticed that it was the whole crowd of the disciples. The whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God. It was not a few people in the crowd. It wasn't just the 12 apostles. It wasn't just those that were the closest to Jesus. But it says that all of the disciples praise God. All of them were excited. All of them were excited to lift up and to praise Jesus. There were not just a few, but all of the disciples. It says they were filled with joy. There was something on the inside of them, and I think this is a key in the Scriptures. We'll look at a couple in a few minutes, our key to what really praise is and joy is. What's on the inside? What do you have on the inside of you spiritually? If you have the right things going on the inside, if you're full of joy, then you'll be full of praise. When you have joy in your heart, you'll have a thankful spirit. When you have a thankful spirit, you'll have a spirit of praise. These disciples were full of joy and they were praising God. I know they were loud. I mean, they were verbal. They were expressive. They shared. They testified. They were not inhibited. They wanted to praise God, and so they just erupted in praise. I just imagine this is one of the highlights, one of the neatest moments of Jesus' ministry as he came over that road. It says he came from Bethany. You know what happened at Bethany in the story before in the Gospel of John? It records a great miracle. Lazarus was raised from the dead. They had seen these great miracles, and they were excited about who Jesus was and what he had done. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. There was great excitement and great praise. I noticed something else about this story too. Not only was there spontaneous praise, but I also see in this story that there was preparation for praise and there was planning for praise. And they were looking forward and ahead to it. Verse 32 says, "Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put it on Jesus. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road." You realize that in preparation and as they moved toward this time of praise, they were planning for it, and people were beginning to respond. Honoring Jesus was something that they thought about and planned for. And in the same way, on this side of the church, on this side of the cross, in the church today, it's important that we understand our own preparations for worshiping God. That God wants us to be prepared in our hearts to praise Him. When we come together, it is important that we prepare ourselves for praise. If we don't come to worship God and praise God with an intention and a purpose and a certain mindset and a certain heart attitude, we'll miss out on the privilege of praise. We will be consumed by the things in our lives, be consumed by our problems, and we may well miss out the opportunity and the privilege to praise God. It's so important that we prepare for praise. It's important that whether we're together as a church family on Sunday morning or in your home and you're opening the Word of God, or you're somehow praying and reading God's Word, it's important what you do with your heart as you do that. If your heart isn't ready to praise God, then whatever you do, going through the motions won't be meaningful. If your heart is right before God, and you are full of the sense of who God is, then your praise will be genuine, and it'll be meaningful, and it'll make a difference in your life, and you'll be drawn in a closeness to the Spirit of God. But if your heart's not right, if you're not prepared, if you're taking God lightly, if you're too busy, if you're too focused on the things of your life and your world, then you'll miss out completely on the joy of praising God. Your heart is so important to be prepared when you praise God. Your heart's important when you pick up the Word of God. And if you're committed to reading God's Word every day and you go through the motions, you just pick it up and read it and you put it down without a heart that is prepared and listening and responsive, then you'll miss everything about it. The same when you pray. If it's mechanical and you just do it because you have to and you do it out of habit, but with no love relationship to God, you'll get nothing out. When you come to church, we all know that. If you come to church and you don't put yourself into whatever's done here, whatever's done in worship, whatever engaged in the music, engaged in listening to God's Word and being challenged in your heart and saying, God, apply it to me. If you don't have that attitude and that spirit, it really doesn't do you a lot of good to come and be here. It's what you do in your heart in preparation for the Spirit of God. And we're going to look at some Psalms that just say that over and over again. When we come together, it is important that we prepare ourselves for praise. Nobody else can get you ready for praise but you. Nobody else in your life, I said earlier, nobody else in this church can get you ready to praise God. Things might distract you from praising God, but you're the one that's responsible for your heart and your spirit before God. We're called to praise Him. All ye creatures, praise Him. When we get our focus on God and we get our focus on what He has done, we'll want to praise Him. We'll want to, however you do that, when you put the distractions aside, you'll want to lift Him up because of who God is and the greatness of who God is. I know how busy Sunday mornings are around here. I know how hard it is sometimes to forget about everything going on during church, between church and after church, and Sunday afternoon and Monday and going back to work. I know how busy and I know how occupied we all are. So the reminder today is, are you prepared for worship? Are you giving your very best to God when you come and worship Him and seek His Spirit? Certainly, I'm glad you're here today. I'm so happy you're here today. But what's even more important than being here today is your heart being humbled before God in worship and saying, God, I want to hear Your Spirit. I want to respond to who You are. I want my praise to be genuine. I don't want to go through the motions. I want to give You thanks for who You are. Are you preparing yourself for worship? How much time do you give to prepare yourself to worship God and to praise God? For that matter, all week long, how much time do you take to slow down and quiet down and prepare your heart to be thankful? How much time do you give to being thankful to God every day? Saying, God, You're a great God. You're a mighty God. You're worthy of my praise. Filling your heart and your mind and your spirit with the good things of God's Word. And instead of all the junk and all the stuff out there that fills your mind and clutters your heart and takes away the focus, how much time do you give to preparing for the Spirit of God in your heart and your mind? There's something about being thankful and praising God that go together. There's a discipline of preparing yourself for the presence of God, preparing yourself for praise. 450 times are we told to praise God from our hearts. The whole crowd of disciples began to joyfully praise. But praise does begin in the heart. It is a part of what we do together in different places and different times, but importantly, praise is a part of what you do with your heart before God. No one can praise God for you. No one can be thankful. No one can have joy for you. The scriptures in the book of Isaiah talks about the garments of praise garments of praise in Isaiah chapter 61. Go on to that next slide, and somehow, I don't know, the slide of the garment there, maybe it's not in there, but God somehow tells us that we're to put something on when we praise Him. We're to put something on who we are and cover us with praise, that we should wear the garments of praise. What about praise? Well, why should we praise God? What does the Bible say about why we should praise God? Actually, there's a long list of reasons that we find in the Bible about why we should praise God. The first one, and the one that I think it is we read the most, is simply because of who God is. The very essence of who God is. Why should we praise God? We're to praise God because He is worthy of our praise. He's done so many things, and He's worthy of our praise. Everything that God has done from eternity up until this moment and planned for all of eternity deserves our praise. And so, the reason that we should continually praise God is because who He is. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. So many places in the Scriptures tell us how worthy God is of our praise. They tell about His wondrous acts. They tell about His grace and His compassion and His loving kindness and all the things that He's done. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. O Lord my God, You are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, another of the Psalms says. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to God. How pleasant and fitting to praise Him. Truly God is worthy of our praise. We praise Him for who He is and what He's done. Psalm 150 verse 2 says, we praise Him because of His surpassing acts of greatness. God has done great things. Psalm 139 gives us another beautiful reason to praise God, another reason to remember the greatness of God. Psalm 139 tells us, we are fearfully and wonderfully made in the secret place. That psalm right there is a great reason to praise God because of His creative power, because of the beauty of life, because God's given you life. God knows your life and your frame. It says, I will praise You because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. What a beautiful picture. You saw my unformed body, the psalmist said. Even before one day came to be, You knew of every day in my life. God calls us to praise Him because He's the great and the mighty Creator. He is worthy of our praise. Why should we praise God? We should praise God for who He is. We should never forget that. When you walk through the doors of this church, don't forget who God is. When you're at home and you walk through the doors of your home, you think about God. Don't forget who He is. Don't forget what He's done. Don't be so distracted that you forget the wonder and the glory of God. If we really have that in our hearts, we'll want to praise Him. Well, who should praise God? Again, there's so many scriptures. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let those who are redeemed praise the Lord. Psalm chapter 150. Psalm chapter 150 is the last chapter in the book of Psalms. And the very last verse in the book of Psalms is this. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Everything that hath breath. Boy, that's a lot of creatures out there. God said somehow the creation will praise Him. And who leads the way? God's people. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Where should we praise God? There's so many places the Scripture tells us to praise God. Psalm chapter 22 says we should praise God in the congregation. Psalm chapter 52 says in the presence of the saints we should praise the Lord. Psalm chapter 100 says in the sanctuary. And there's many places and times that we're to praise the Lord. I think of two others out of many that I want to mention this morning of where we're to praise the Lord. We're also told in the Scriptures that we're to praise the Lord among the nations. Meaning we're to praise God in front of other people. We're to let other people know what God means to us. That's part of having a heart that's genuine, a heart that's testifying to the truth of who God is. We're encouraged to praise God among the nations. Part of the Great Commission was to go into all the world and preach the gospel and tell the story of who Jesus is. Truly, God calls us to have praises and show those praises everywhere we are. One more place to mention where we should praise God. Psalm chapter 78 says something that's important about where we praise God. It says we're to praise God in the next generation or for the next generation. I want to read a few verses from there. Psalm chapter 78, verse 4. If you have your Bible, turn to that one. I want to ask you to look at that with me this morning. Turn to Psalm chapter 78, verse 4. Where does God want us to pray? How does God want us to praise Him? We will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power and His wonders and what He has done. Verse 6, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. You know how important it is that your praise is genuine among the people that come behind you? You know how important genuine praise is in this church to the children, to the teens, to the young people, to the next generation? You know how important it is that you're genuine, be seen and known, that your praise, that the joy in your hearts be real, a thankful spirit that's real? Because that's what draws people to the Spirit of God. That's what draws people to who God is when they know it's real in our hearts and our lives. And so we're told in the Scripture how important it is that we pass on to our children our faith and our testimony and the praises of God. If you love God and you share that with other people, you're the children of this church and others that come behind, when we share that with them, then it becomes real in their hearts and their lives, and they'll pass it on to the next generation. One of the most important reasons to praise God is because of the next generation. See, if they see a generation that has no joy and doesn't have a spirit of thanksgiving and so occupied with their own lives, what would cause them to want to change that? What would draw them? And so the Scriptures tell us to praise God among the next generation. God calls us to be a joyful people. What from your life are you passing to the next generation? What do people see in you? I mean, it's one thing to say, what does God see in your heart? And that's the most important question. But think about what God sees. And what do the people around you see in your life? Do they see a spirit of joy? Do they see a spirit of honoring God? Do they see a spirit that's excited to praise Him and a spirit that loves God with all that you are? God calls us to be a people who pass on to the next generation, the praises of God. Well, how should we praise God? Again, there's so many things to say about how we praise God. Psalm chapter 119, verse 171, longest chapter in the Bible, talks a lot about praise. There's a lot of praise in there. And one of the verses talks about the overflow of our hearts is how we praise God. It's what's on the inside that comes out from which we praise God. Also, we're to praise God with our inmost being, with a very deep part of who we are. We're to praise God from the depths of our faith and our belief and our choices and our decisions. That part of who we are should drive our desire to be a people that praise God and honor Him. We're to praise God with an upright heart. We're to praise God with a heart that is sincere and seeking Him. Our praises aren't meant to take the place of being a humble, upright, honest before God person. We're to worship Him and praise Him with an upright heart. We're to praise Him with our mouths. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness. Our praises are to be verbal. There's other ways that we praise God, quietly and with our hands and in other ways and how we serve and work. But you realize how many times it tells us in the Scriptures to praise God with our tongue over and over and over and over again. We're to praise God in song. Sing a new song to the Lord. At least 100 times we're instructed within all these references to praise God with song. And so it was important and is important that we praise God with our voices, that we verbalize it, that we are showing people around us what we really believe, and that we believe in God and we believe in His greatness, and we will praise Him. We're to praise Him with our tongue. We're to praise Him with our hands. Many, many ways to praise God. Well, when and how long are we to praise God? Another question. Well, that's pretty easy. From the rising of the sun until the setting of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. So from the time you wake up in the morning to the time you go to bed, you're to praise God. That's what God wants from His people. God just doesn't want times of praise in your life. God wants you to have a life of praise of Him. Everything a part of you and everything within you that praises Him and celebrates Him and believes in Him and confides in Him and desires Him. That's the kind of praise that God wants from His people. A lifetime of praise. A lifetime of remembering who He is and what He has done. Psalm 145 says, I will praise His name forever. In that same psalm, in that same verse are two pictures. It says, I will praise His name forever. So how long do we praise God forever? And then the next part of the verse says, and I will praise Him every day. So there's both something about today that God wants in your heart and your spirit, but it's also about how you live your life, that God wants you to be a person of praise, a person who continually praises and honors Him and glorifies Him in your life. Do you have a heart of praise today? Do you have a heart that says, God, I know who You are. You are a great and a mighty God. I'm thankful for who You are. I want to honor You. I want You to be glorified in my heart and my life. That's the kind of people that God wants in His church. That's the kind of people God wants in the kingdom. He wants people that believe in Him and love Him and honor Him. Honor Him with their words and honor Him with their actions and their lives. Truly, God calls us to praise the Lord from the rising of the sun until the setting of the same. God's name is to be praised. I want to invite our worship team to come at this time, and they're going to lead us in a closing song. While they do, I just want to show you some pictures of something that I'm giving praise to God about this week. And you probably, some of you, have been involved with this, but I want to talk while they're coming and preparing about something I'm very thankful this week. I want to praise God. I've shown you pictures of India. And so I just want to show you a few more pictures today. And a couple that I showed before. Go on to that next one, would you, Nate, in India? I'd shown you a picture when I came home about how people get their water in India. And many of them have to walk a long way to get water. They come from miles and miles from other villages sometimes, especially in the time of the drought, to get water. And I had gone across, I'd been at several places where I could see the people had gathered from a long way, walking down the road for miles, carrying pots on their heads and coming to get water, and also talk to you about the opportunity to help to build some wells in India. And you responded to that. And I want to tell you today how grateful I am. Go on to the next picture, if you would there, Nate. This was the little village, one of the little villages that I visited, and it was very dry. There were grass huts, and the people were so kind and generous to me. I went in, I think the next picture might show the group, or maybe inside. One of those that you can't see the picture real well, but that's basically their house. There's a stick and some thatch walls and a thatch roof, and that was the house of one of the families. One little room, about 10 feet wide and 12 feet long. And they invited me in to be in their home. The next picture is of this family who the man on the right is an old man. The woman on the left is his granddaughter, and she's the one that prepared for us on their dirt floor. They sit on the dirt floor. Again, their house is about as long as a pew, and about from the pew to the altar. And they invited us into their home, and we sat down on the dirt floor. And she made us tea, and then she made us rice, and we sat there, and we ate with them. And the man on the right said to me, through the translator, can you help us to get water? We don't have water in our village. And so I brought that home and told you about that, and many of you gave money to it. Go on to that next picture, Nate. This was the man who asked me in his little home. That's his bed there, his wife there, if we could help him with water. Okay, go ahead. And so last Monday, the truck came. There's only one truck in the whole province, I understand, that bores wells. And in this town of Karwadi, the truck came and they started boring the first well. And go ahead to the next one. This is a group of people. The pastor of the town of Karwadi is in the back in the blue shirt. I went to his home and also talked to him and visited with him. And then two more pictures, and then this is the last picture. Well, they struck water on the first boring. Vinay told me that they almost never strike water on the first time. Sometimes they have to move around in a village and find it, but they struck water and it started flowing. And so Vinay just sends his thanks to you that Karwadi and the areas around them now have water. They have the pipes in, and they're praising God. Vinay said that there's such a powerful testimony to other people around the village of because this village is mostly the Church of Karwadi of Nazarenes, and so they invite all these people in for water, and it's a great testimony, and so we're just praising God for that. One down and seven to go, you know, but I just wanted to share that with you. I was so excited this week. Sing with us as we celebrate and praise God. Sing from your heart.